Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the AnvaCast. My guest this week is Dr. Georgia Steele from the Georgia Department of Revenue. And in that Department of Revenue, Georgia is now the Chief Performance Officer. And we're going to talk to Georgia a little bit about that role today. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about some of her AMVA role, because what some of our listeners may or may not know is Georgia is completing her term as our Region 2 President. And a great Region 2 president she has been. And as unfortunate as it is, like many of her colleagues right now, she was preparing to have hosted us earlier this month in Atlanta for the Region 2 conference. And of course, with our inability to get together, we weren't able to visit that great city. And it bummed me out personally. I have a sister-in-law there who works in the restaurant industry and had all these great plans. And George, I know you're as disappointed as anybody about not being able to host us this year. But how are you holding up otherwise and with everything going on in the world right now?
These are certainly interesting times. But before I get into that, let me first and foremost say thank you for the opportunity to one, talk about my role and in terms of within the Department of Revenue, but also my time serving as Region 2 President. I am disappointed that I was not able to have, you know, our Region 2 family here last week. It actually would have been the teens of June that everyone would be here. Yeah. So this would be a week after, and I'd probably, you know, be happy and celebrating, being able to relax. Because of course, you know, you're really excited about having everyone here, but it's like having family home for Thanksgiving. If they're coming to your house, that requires, you know, extra cleaning, all this extra work, and you're happy to have them when they're there, but then there's cleanup afterwards. So I know.
And you're happy to have them go.
Yes. I would have loved to have had you guys here last week to, you know, to really kind of culminate everything that we've done as an organization or as Region 2. But unfortunately, that just was not possible. Mm. Between COVID and everything else that is taking place, I try to think on the positive things that I've been able to take away from all that is happening. And it's given me an opportunity to spend more time with my son. I am a workaholic. But when vacation comes. So there's no vacation this year, but I've had the opportunity, you know, to do evening walks with my son and, you know, have more reflective time with him. So it's been an opportunity to do that. It's allowed me a deeper connection with my family in general, because, you know, now we're checking up on each other more often. So I hope for everyone that's listening that they're able to take something good away from everything else that is going on, because there is a lot of negativity, a lot of intensity in terms of emotions that are going on within the world. And so it's important to find something good to hold on to. So I try to, you know, spend and invest that time in my relationships to make sure that I'm creating stronger bonds there.
How old is your son?
So he is 14, going on about 24.
I've got one of those. Yeah.
Yes. And he's a 14-year-old that actually, he's in a flight program. So he flies single engine airplanes. He's been doing this for about 3 years now, and heartbroken that he wasn't able to fly for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Most people don't even know what it's like to be in a single engine airplane. Mm-hmm. And he's walking around the house, you know, like all droopy, because he wasn't able to do or take any classes for about 3 months. So we should be flying this weekend coming, and he's pretty excited about that. Well, so I'm looking forward
great.
To it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you're absolutely right about trying to find those silver linings and the unexpected benefits. And it's in some ways, it's kind of amazing how close these wonderful life lessons and things you didn't expect to find, how close it lives to that intensity and negativity that, you know, sometimes you can't find one without the other.
Yep.
Maybe that's a little deeper than we wanted to go today.
But. No, but I think it's good even for organizations to look at, you know, the challenges that come out of dealing with COVID. When we initially, because no one knows or really understands what this is. So as an organization here within our department, everyone was trying to make decisions to fix things, but we really didn't know what we needed to fix, or we weren't being systematic. And, you know, even using my role to really position things in a way that we were having more structured conversations and more timely conversations to make decisions helped us as a senior executive team to work more closely together. So even looking at that, I would never want to have to deal with a pandemic, but I think any crisis that comes up or happens to come up later on, we now have a better way of thinking about how we can support each other in order for our organization to be successful. So I think it's always important to just try and find that silver lining in whatever is taking place, because, you know, as human beings, we have a tendency to kind of focus on the negative and then can't see the beauty that may come out of something or the learning that may come out of it to make us better.
Well said. Now, so let's talk about your organization. You have been with the Department of Revenue now for about 8 years.
Yes.
You spent most of the time in the motor vehicle side of the house, and only more recently, within the past 6 months or so, have moved to a new role.
So in November of last year, our commissioner appointed me to the role of Chief Performance Officer, which when we were going back and forth about what this role was and his mindset about what he wanted our organization to look like and to feel like, you know, he's like, well, you determine the title or what it needs to be. And of course, I started researching and looking at, you know, different titles and what they meant. And even something, you know, Chief Transformation Officer was one that was considered. But the Chief Performance Officer role here within our department is responsible for driving continuous improvement and transformational change. So our commissioner really wanted us to focus on a shift to becoming a high-performing organization. And what that means here is that all of our operational services and support that is being delivered to our taxpayers are more efficiently and effectively done across the department. So we'll have different divisions, and just to give you a sense of some of the things that we do here. So you mentioned motor vehicles. That's the registration and titling of over 10.2 million vehicles in our state. We also do alcohol and tobacco transactions in terms of licensing of, you know, places that people have probably been frequenting or ordering stuff from a lot more often during the pandemic. So I'll just leave it at that. But collecting 32.6 billion in gross tax revenues. We deal with property tax, unclaimed property, et cetera. So there is a varied, portfolio of programs that we handle here within our department. And so I went from motor vehicles and knowing motor vehicles like the back of my hand to now saying we have to look at our organization from an organizational perspective to say, how do we define success as a department, and how do we help each other move forward towards that success?
So it sounds like, and I want to ask more questions about how you do that. But first, you mentioned when the new commissioner came in and he created this role, it wasn't a role that was there waiting for you. It sounds like he came in, he had these ideas, he found a rock star on his roster that had these skills, and together you created this new path.
So it's a new key leadership role within the department. And I've been blessed with the opportunity to have worked with the commissioner before. So here in the state of Georgia, we have 159 county tax commissioners, and they are agents on behalf of the state when we process tag and title transactions. He happened to be at the time, or for the last 8 years that I've been with the department, he was a county tax commissioner in one of our metro Atlanta counties. So we've worked together. He's seen my work product. As you know, Ian, we went live with our Drives system, which is a tag and title system replacement. So we had a 20-year-old Cobalt system that I think when I first started with the department, if it rained, if it was a Monday, or if it was a day that should be one of our highest days in terms of transactions, the system refused to work.
Of course.
And so it was clearly time to get rid of that. And he came in, I think, 13 days before we went live with that system.
Wow.
Yes. But the good thing is he was a tax commissioner before he came to the department.
Right.
He saw the work, he saw the communication, saw the change management. And you know how much I love what we do in terms of as an AMVA family. So he saw the passion that I had for getting this done and getting it done right. And I think that's what he was looking for in this role. When we talked about the role, he talked about Malcolm Baldrige. And it's this performance excellence criteria that I never heard of until he mentioned it. So of course he, you know, he's talking about it. He's like, you know what I'm talking about, right? OFIs. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there, what in heaven's name is an OFI? So I leave his office. I go, of course, you know, I'm walking out and I'm using Google because Google is my best friend. And it's opportunities for improvement. And it's not looking at things from a negative perspective. It's saying you may have a gap. Or you can look at it to say you have an opportunity to improve. Mm-hmm. And so trying to get that into everyone's vernacular, because sometimes people are so protective when they have something that's wrong and they know it's wrong. They know it needs to be tweaked, but they don't want to talk about it because it comes off as if they're failing at their job. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, no, we're looking at everything within our department and saying, where do we have the opportunity to be better or to be our best? And so that's what we talk about, our OFIs. And so we work off of those opportunities for improvement to make our organization better.
And so how was that transition for you, leaving behind that motor vehicle world that you didn't know like the back of your hand? You clearly had passion for, you loved the work you were doing. Being able to let that go and embrace this broader role that spread across multiple parts of the Department of Revenue.
So initially, I struggled with it a bit. And I have been in transportation my entire time in government. Before starting with the Department of Revenue, I was the assistant deputy commissioner with the New York City Tax and Limousine Commission. So literally, transportation has been my life. But the person who is now in that role is Brent Bennett. And Brent was one of the assistant directors that, you know, was reporting to me while I served as director. So I think he obliged me a little bit in my first couple of weeks as I was still getting used to my new role. You know, and he, you know, him and I still talk when there are motor vehicle items that come up that, you know, he may want input or advice on. But over time, as I started looking at the organization and seeing how we could truly become successful as an organization, not as a division, not as a specific area, so not tax, not local government, not motor vehicles, but as an organization, how do we systematically do that? Once I started getting into that, I really started pushing forward with initiatives that can help the organization as a whole be successful.
So talk to me about those initiatives. And I guess my specific question is how, and I know this might be too much for our little 15-20 minute podcast, it's a multiple day professional development course, but the real difference between making these approaches and this performance management concepts real and material and not buzzwords that everybody wants to throw around in a boardroom and whiteboard.
The commissioner was very clear. He did not want this to be the flavor of the month. He wanted it baked into our organization. And, you know, when he said that to me, I said, are you truly ready for what's about to come? Because that means even you have to change. And of course, you know, I'm talking to my boss and he, you know, kind of looked at me like, what is that supposed to mean? And we talked about what our organization needs and where we need to start in order for our organization to be successful. There's a quote that I have up on my whiteboard, and it says, culture, not vision or strategy, is the most powerful factor in any organization. Each of us are responsible for contributing to the culture of our organization. And you can't. So when I think about our organization, I think about it as a tree. So it's great to be able to see whatever the tree is bearing. But have you taken the time to look at the roots? Have you do you understand if it's actually there to be able to hold the organization up? And so what we started with is doing an assessment to benchmark ourselves against that Malcolm Baldrige performance excellence criteria that I mentioned. And that's where we got a lot of our OFIs from, where they're saying, yes, you're doing some great things, but you're not doing it systematically. Like, this division does this great job here, but the division over here doesn't do that. Why are you guys not doing that in a structured format? Mm-hmm. And adding to that, I'll say building, because I don't want to say shift. Building on top of that, we recently did a value survey, and we did that to get an accurate picture of what our employees, what us as a team, think and feel about our organization. Because I've worked in places before where I've absolutely hated my job because it felt toxic. It's like, culture isn't something that you can't touch it, but you know when it doesn't feel good.
Sure.
And we want people to be able to come to work and feel good, because when people come to work and feel good, they want to be here, and you give more of yourself in an organization that you love, that you have passion to be able to, you know, put into it. And so we recently did that value survey, and now we're looking at that data and trying to determine what ways can we ensure that everyone understands what they do, why the values or core values that we have are important, and sustain a culture that makes Department of Revenue a great place to work.
And so how has, you know, it kind of ties back to where we started with everything that's happening in the world and with the challenges of operational changes in the pandemic, as you've had these shifts and everyone having to move rapidly to change the way they operate and interact, how has that tied back to a shift in the culture?
So one of the things that we've certainly seen a shift in is our ability to adapt. I think at times... And I'm a New Yorker, born and raised in Jamaica, but I'm a New Yorker. I'm moving. I'm looking for what is the next thing that we need to get to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes in government, it takes us a little while to move and to shift. But when COVID came around, the entire senior leadership team, we jumped in and said, what is it that we need to do and how quickly can we get it done? We had our business continuity plan where we were able to deploy, you know, laptops, et cetera, to get people out of the office quickly. So within 2 to 3 days, people were working from home. Our call center was able to shift. And we have multiple call centers. They were able to shift and, you know, deploy their people to work remotely. That's one of the things that I'm most proud of in terms of our organization pulling together and saying, how do we strategically support the staff to make sure that they can be taken care of, but we're still able to take care of our taxpayers.
Hmm. And having a larger view into taxpayers as a whole, especially being the Department of Revenue, you've gotten to observe over the past 8 years, not only the culture of, you know, the motor vehicle agency services in Georgia, and not just the ones that you were leading, but I know you've always had a very positive collaborative relationship with driver services in Georgia. So you've got a really great view in terms of the overall DMV culture. I'm curious, mm-hmm. your observations now that you're working at this broader level, your observations on cultures and attitudes, both within state government or from taxpayers, comparing and contrasting that of the traditional quote unquote DMV world versus some of these other departments and divisions that are part of your new role.
I think as an organization, we've done a pretty good job of focusing on the voice of the customer. I think one of the things that we do have an opportunity to look at, so one of those OFIs, is to have a way to consistently get that feedback. So when we're working through creating a process or developing a new program, we try to get customers or key stakeholders to provide us input. But the world is, as we just talked about, it's constantly changing. And mm-hmm. so now we need to find a way as an organization to be able to get that feedback on a continuous basis. So we have that opportunity to reflect and determine whether or not we're really providing what the customer is asking for. And sometimes the customer they won't even know what they need. When I think mm-hmm. about our tag renewal kiosk here, when I pushed for that initially to be deployed, I got pushback from, you know, some of our local tax officials. And during the pandemic, when people were in the supermarket, there were lines trying to get to a kiosk to be able to renew tags. Mm. So sometimes, you know, we have to kind of have the, and this is a beautiful thing about AMVA, is that we're able to steal great ideas. But sometimes we have to have that foresight to be able to say, this is what the customer is going to need in the future and prepare them for it. But we have to be listening to the voice of the customer continuously. And that's something that we as a department, I know we're working on, and we will need to continue working on.
So you talked about stealing and sharing ideas. Hopefully a lot of our listeners are thinking about maybe learning more about what are these OFIs and how may I bring some of this into my agency or department. If they're looking to tackle this or know more, you know, what would be the top two or three things you would recommend to somebody to start learning about this area of culture improvement, tackling OFIs, if you will, particularly from the DMV perspective that you know so well? Where would you point them to?
So I'd probably say either three or four C's. So culture, customer, And I guess really kind of looking at the commitment. So helping people, helping the organization understand its mission and its vision. Because, you know, it's great buzzwords, but how often are we communicating that to our employees? Do they truly have that commitment to what it is that you're asking for them to do?
Yeah.
So our commissioner may be able to recite our mission and vision, but does the new employee, have they been onboarded or acclimated in a way that they understand this is not a joke, this is what we do, this is why you're here? The culture is the personality of the organization. So what is the culture of the organization? Is it one that's a fun place to work? And I mean, fun in terms of business, you know, AMVA has a certain culture that I love. I love being at AMVA headquarters and working with you guys, or, you know, being there because it's a family. You guys, you know, pull things together to support the AMVA regions or the AMVA community. And I love that. And then looking at the, listening to the customer, really hearing what it is that they need and what they want, because legislation can be black and white, but how you deploy that is what's going to impact the customer. So making sure that you are having those conversations to be able to assess and determine if you are doing it the right way.
Well, that's really helpful. I hope some folks will, take you up on that advice and maybe even follow up with you offline, because even though you may be finishing as Region 2 president, you may no longer be just in the motor vehicle division. I certainly hope, Georgia, you continue to stay part of the AMVA family, as you alluded to, and that you don't become a stranger even as you go on to these bigger and better and more exciting things that you have ahead of you.
I couldn't do that even if I wanted to. AMVA is ingrained in me. The AMVA organization invested in me in terms of in the Leadership Academy. If you remember, I was in the very first cohort.
Very first class, yes.
Yes, and that has had a lasting impact on my career. Being able to have conversations with you, with Anne, with some of our other leaders has helped me to get to where I am today. So I certainly am thankful for that, and I want to be able to give back in any way that I can.
Great. Well, we will definitely take you up on that offer. Thank you for joining us today, Georgia. It's really great to hear your voice. I hope to be able to see you in person in a not-so-distant future. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in to this episode of the AMVAcast. I want to thank our producer, Claire Jeffrey, and we'll see you all on the next episode. Thanks, Georgia.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for AMVAcast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.